Read Daniel chapter number 10, please. Daniel chapter number 10. And I promise you, I'm not going to be more than about 10 or 15 minutes. I'm going to whack the majority of this lesson out tonight and just go from the beginning and go to the end, and then we'll be done tonight. But I want to give you something that I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Daniel chapter number 10, and just for sake of time tonight, I just want to read one verse, verse number 19. The Bible says, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. I've entitled my lesson tonight, Prayer is a Virtue. And I know some of you might think, well, you know, a virtue is not something that prayer is. A virtue is something like love, self-control, kindness, meekness, and those type of things are virtues. And when you look at the definition of virtue, you're going to find, here's what it says. It says conformity to a standard of right or moral excellence. Now, that's not prayer, is it? But if you look at the second definition of prayer, here's what it says. It is a beneficial quality or power of a thing. If I were to ask you tonight, what is the power in your Christian life? What is the power in the life of a church? You know what the answer should be? It should be, and it is, prayer. Prayer is the power behind our church. Prayer is the power in your spiritual life. Francina Kowalski, that's a big name, isn't it? She wrote this. She says this, a soul arms itself by prayer for all kinds of combat. In whatever state the soul may be, it ought to pray. A soul which is pure and beautiful must pray, or else it will lose beauty. A soul which is striving after this purity must pray, or else it will never attain it. A soul which is newly converted must pray, or else it will fall again. A sinful soul plunged in sin must pray so that it might rise again. There is no soul which is not bound to pray, for every single grace comes to the soul through prayer. What was she saying? That there is power in prayer. And I want you to know tonight that your life is only as strong spiritually as your prayer life. If you have a weak prayer life, you're going to be weak spiritually. I will add to that, a church is only as strong as the prayer room is. If the prayer room becomes weak and not taken advantage of, I don't care who pastors the church. I don't care how many people are in the church. It is going to be weak spiritually because the power of a church is in prayer. One of the greatest preachers that has ever walked on the face of the earth is a guy by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He has been dead for many years. But you know what the power behind his ministry was? Is that on Sunday morning when he was praying, there was 300 to 350 people in a basement praying for him that the power of God would come down into his life. When you read Daniel, Daniel is known as a man of prayer. All through the book, we find him praying over and over, but he had also some other many great qualities. We know, number one, that Daniel was a man of purpose. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Daniel was a man that made up his mind that whatever I do, I'm going to do to honor and please the Lord. He was a man of purpose. The second character that I believe Daniel had, he was a man that did things with excellence. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 3, the Bible says this, that he had an excellent spirit in him. One of the things that I believe it means is that he did everything to the very best of his ability. When it came to serving the Lord, he didn't do it halfway. He didn't do it hit and miss. He put all of the effort and all the passion and all of the zeal he had into serving the Lord. He had an excellent spirit in him. But here is one of the things that I think is the most unique about Daniel. God trusted him. I want you to think about that. One of the greatest characteristics that Daniel had was God trusted him. I want you to hold your finger there and go with me back to Daniel chapter number 5. Daniel chapter number 5. They're in search of someone to read the writing of the writing on the wall. And here is what they said about Daniel. Daniel 5, verse number 12. It says, "Forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel." When you get to looking at all of these things and you start studying the book of Daniel, you realize there are some hard, difficult things that people want to know. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He brought in all the soothsayers and all the astrologers and all the magicians in. He said, "Man, if you'll just interpret this dream, I will make you rich." They did the very best they could, but they couldn't interpret the dream. But they said, "Hey, there's one by the name of Daniel. He walks with God. He speaks with God. He's a man of prayer. And if we can get Daniel in here, he can tell you the interpretation of those dreams." And you know what? He did. Nebuchadnezzar, God's fixing to do something with you. He's going to send you out into the wilderness for a while. But if you'll repent and if you'll turn your heart back to him, he will restore you. There was an answer to his dreams. When you read Daniel chapter number 5, you know it's a story that you learned in Sunday school. There was Belshazzar. He was having this huge party, and the hand of God came and wrote on a wall that was 300 foot tall, "Mina, Mina, Tekel, Upars." What was the interpretation? Hey, none of the other men could interpret that. Only God knew what he wrote. And they said, "You know what? Daniel has an audience with God. If we can just get Daniel in here, Daniel can help us know what the writing is." And sure enough, because God trusted Daniel with the word, Daniel was able to interpret the writing. And you can go right on down through the book of Revelation. I mean, through the book of Daniel. One of the great things about the book of Daniel is from Daniel chapter number 8 all the way to the end of the book, God gives Daniel some of the most powerful prophecies in all of the world. Matter of fact, when you look at the prophecies of Daniel chapter number 9, he gives a time history for the rest of mankind. It's one of the most astonishing prophecies in all of the Word of God. But God trusted Daniel with those things. Why did he trust him with those things? Because Daniel was a man prayer. When you read chapter number 10, Daniel is about 80 years of age. He's in the twilight of his years, and he's seen the hand of God. He's seen God do marvelous things in his life. But the Bible tells us in verse number 2 that in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In those verses, what is he doing? He's praying. The Bible tells us in verse number 4 that he's by the Tigris River. And as I was studying this passage of Scripture, one commentary said, you know what? That was a popular place for prophets. Many prophets in the Old Testament would go down by the river to spend time in prayer in seeking God for their life. Daniel has been down by the river for 21 days, 3 weeks. He has been praying. He has been fasting. He is seeking God. But what is he praying for? I believe we're told that in verse number 12 because there's an angel that comes to Daniel. And let's just read it with verse number 11. The Bible says, "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand up, for unto thee I am sent. And when he has spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand." What is Daniel praying for? There was something that was going on that Daniel didn't quite understand. And I think what was really taking place, it was the 70 years of captivity was almost up. And it was almost time for the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, go back to Jerusalem. And Daniel wasn't for sure how all of that was going to take place. And he was seeking God for 3 whole weeks to try to get an understanding for God to show him how all of these events were going to take place. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have some understanding tonight. And you know what? It's available to us. When we get on our knees before God and say, God, I need to know some things. And you know what? He can speak to you just like he spoke to Daniel. But I want you to notice something else that Daniel was praying for, and I think it's very important. The Bible says that he set his heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God. Some people say that he was humbling himself. But I think what he was doing, I think he was confessing sin, because if you look in chapter number 9 and verse number 3, we won't read all these verses, but verse number 3 down to verse number 19 is one of the most powerful prayers in all of the scriptures. But what is he praying for? Notice what it says in verse number 4 or verse number 5. This is Daniel praying to the Lord. He says, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. And you go on, and you can go on and read through verse number 10. Daniel is not only praying and confessing his sin, but he is confessing the sins of the nation. We love 2 Chronicles 7 and verse number 14. But what does that passage say? The passage says that we are to forsake our iniquities. You know as well as I know, we are a nation that is forsaking God. I'm telling you, church is no longer important in the lives of Christian people anymore. Some it is, but not like it used to be. Morality is on the downslide. And I'm telling you, it's not up to the world to repent of those sins. It must start in the house of God first. When we begin to pray, my friends, we need to confess our sins to the Lord. The Bible says if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But when you study the scriptures, we are not only to confess our sins, but we are to confess the sins of our nation. And my friends, as we pray during these hours and during these weeks, one of the things that we need to do is, God, we have turned aside from you, and we need you to forgive us and restore and bring revival again. Can I say to you tonight that nothing's going to change until we get back to God? And Daniel knew that. He says, he chastened thyself before the Lord. But I want you to know that God heard his prayer. Because notice the last few words of verse number 12. The angel says, I am come for thy words. Because you prayed, because heaven heard, I have come. I have come to answer. I have come to give you the answer to your prayers. I wish I could had time tonight to show you verse number 13 down through verse number 18. You ought to go home and read that text, because that text explains why our prayers sometimes take a while to be answered. It's one of the most important passages in the Bible when it comes to studying angels and dealing with angels and what angels are doing in our lives. Matter of fact, it deals expressly with Brother Chris is preaching on Sunday morning about spiritual wickedness in high places. But I want to finish tonight with verse number 19. And he said, O man greatly beloved, here is what he says, fear not. Fear not. As God's people, we are people that should not be afraid. You say, Brother David, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't either. But I do know this, that God's on the throne. That means if I lose every cent, I told Brother Chris the other day, and he can testify to this. I told him the other day, I would rather live a pauper for the rest of my life if it meant that the power of God would return into this nation. I'd give up everything I had. And you know what? As God's people, we're not to fear. Brother Chris quoted this passage a while ago, and I've got to go 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then he says this, I want you to have peace. You know why we can have peace? Because no matter what takes place, it's going to be okay. I don't care what happens in this world. It's going to be okay, and I can have peace. And when I'm talking to people, and when people call me and they're all upset, you know what we as God's people need to do? We need to show them that we have peace, that we have trust in God. And then the third thing he said, I want you to be strong. I want you to be confident. I want you to be courageous. When you study the Word of God, that is something we find over and over again in the Scriptures. God is saying, you know what? I want you to be strong. I want you to be confident in me. But what was the reward of his prayer? The last part of verse number 19, Daniel said, I was strengthened. He doesn't say it just once, but he says it twice. He says, for thou hast strengthened me. You know what's going to strengthen you through these times? It's prayer. Because you see, when I get alone with God, and I begin to pour my heart out to him, and I begin to talk to him, and my heart begins to experience peace. It begins to experience confidence. And when I get up from praying, I'm strengthened. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. Well, I don't borrow from its sunshine. I don't whirl the stone to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. And sing that chorus with me. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Lord, we love you tonight, and God, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful that you love us. We're grateful that you provide for us. We're grateful that you're sovereign. We're grateful that you're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we're grateful for the fact that there's nothing that happens to us that doesn't pass through your hand first. God, what an opportunity it is for us during these days that the world seems so dark and seems so bleak. We can stand with confidence, and we can stand with peace, and we don't have to be afraid. It doesn't mean that we're not discerning. It doesn't mean that we don't act with wisdom. It doesn't mean that we don't do what is right around us. But God, we have a confidence that it's going to be okay. God, tonight I pray for our president. God, I pray that you'd give him wisdom. I pray that you'd give him discernment. I pray for the leaders of our country. God, I pray for those that have become ill, especially the elderly. God, you're still a miracle working God. And God, I pray for a miracle in our nation, in our country. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.